What do you think of the fan reaction and all the booing, though?
I mean, I expected it. I really don't know what it was about, but I expected it. And so it is what it is. I don't even know why they were booing. I don't think. If you ask them, they probably don't know why they were booing.
You know what? I think they do. Welcome back. It's Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giller. Joining us in studio, Rhea Hughes. Rhea, I was at the game last night. It was a steady boo, and especially the whole first half. Every time he touched the basketball. Rhea, I know why everyone was booing last night. No one likes that guy, and he didn't give full effort here.
There's nobody who quite plays the victim like James Harden.
It is true.
He has victimed himself out of several teams.
You know, it's funny, Rhea, it's not the victim. He's aloof. He doesn't care.
Yeah, like, well, that's clear.
It's like he doesn't care. The fact that he sat there was like, I don't know why they're booing me. And they probably don't even know why.
People are very clear what happened in that last series last year. Mm-hmm. You remember, what was it, Embiid missed the first game of the series?
Yeah, they won.
Because
it was all about him. And then, you know, Embiid comes back in those last two games, you know, they're not giving Embiid the ball. And by the way, I have my own issues with Embiid. You know, you're the MVP. You don't have to sit around on a chair waiting for someone to throw you the ball.
Right.
You take it. But, I mean, it was just a disgrace. But I see him, and I just see a guy who's never going to win a ring. And as talented as he, look at the list of players he's been with.
Yeah.
Oh,
some of the greatest
Hall of Famers everywhere he goes, and he's the common denominator. Those guys.
He's a Hall of Famer himself.
Of course he is.
He's a Hall of Famer, and the thing of it is this: like hearing him talk about last night and how it went bad here, and then for him to mention that he wanted to win a ring, it just sounds like, do you really like I don't know what's in his head because I don't know him, but you have to ask yourself, do you really want to win a ring?
No. If you did, you would have stayed around at a couple of places.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. And it's one of those things when, and you know what else that bothered me about what he said? Remember when he talked about talking to Joel Embiid, and he said he didn't?
Nah.
You bought that damn man a $30,000 watch. Listen, Rhea. I'm going to say this. If I buy somebody a $30,000 watch.
You keep it in touch after that?
You're going to hear from me for at least a year.
Exactly.
You're going to hear from me. And when you don't call me back, I'm going to remind you, hey, it's me, the guy that bought you that $30,000 watch. Why aren't you picking up the phone? So that, to me, was ridiculous.
We all know people like that. They have new best friends, like, every month. Mm-hmm. There's a reason for that. It's not the other people.
It's them. No, it is. And it's Harden. All right, let's also hear from him last night on why things ended here, because we really haven't heard from him. He doesn't talk much.
No.
First time he played the Sixers here in Philadelphia, obviously, since the trade. Here was Harden after the game on why the whole thing unraveled.
You know, for me, personally, I felt like I did everything I needed to do in the sense of the year prior, you know what I mean, taking myself off the max to help the team get better for this city, you know what I mean, and for myself, obviously, but to win a championship. So things didn't work out. I wanted to get paid. They weren't talking. So, you know, it is what it is. Now you move on. Everybody's happy. Life is good, and you know what I mean? Everybody looking forward.
You think someday that you and Daryl will match things up?
No.
No?
No, no.
No.
He said nah.
Nah.
Also, he wants us to throw him a flowers, Rhea. He played for $35 million the last couple of years.
You know, that's a sacrifice.
Unbelievable. I mean, the guy's a saint. He acts like he played for the league minimum. We're supposed to bow down to him. Also, the other thing that always bothered me is when things go bad, he quits.
Yeah,
like in the
always
playoffs,
quits.
He quits.
He knew. He had an inkling. And I think, really, it was probably ownership that said, we're not giving him.
Yeah.
No. Said that to Maury. Because Maury was going to give it to him.
Well, that's his guy.
Yeah,
was
his guy.
Guy.
Was his guy. Not anymore.
No, it's over now. I wonder, I didn't know, because I was at the game last night. I wasn't sure what the reception would be, because it's not like Ben, right? He wasn't, like, he was a mercenary. We knew that from
when
he got
Ben
here.
Was one of ours.
Yes, and Ben turned his back completely. So that one was, like, vitriol. I didn't know what to expect, but I was pretty impressed last night. It was a steady boo every time he touched the basketball.
They were committed.
Yes, and obviously, like, he touches the ball a lot. So,
yes,
like,
he
there's
does.
A lot of booing. Hugh, the fans last night there were very committed to booing that guy the whole game.
Almost brought tears to my eyes. I was proud of him for that, man.
It's a lot of pride.
Yeah, it was.
All right. By the way, one more thing about last night. I've been on the fence about Kelly Oubre Jr., just kind of, you know, I loved what he did last night. It was
reaction?
Like Oprah. You're you, you're you, you're you. And it was just very pointed. I appreciated the way he did that.
Well, I mean, you watched the end of that game. Was he wrong about what
he
said?
Oh, no, he's 100% right.
That was, Hugh, that was bad last night. It's rare that a game comes down to a call. You're like, that cost him the game. That cost him the game last night.
Yeah, what was it? The coach was, he was super, super heated at the end of that game.
That was the most heated I've ever seen
Ever.
Nick Nurse.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was about to bust a blood vessel that night.
Yeah, and it's a big loss. I mean, their chances to be the, you know, avoid the play-in, it's probably not going to happen now.
So, well, Joel's coming back. That'll solve everything.
No, you mean next year?
That's what I think.
That hurt. That, like, I was looking at the ticker this
morning. Come on.
And when I saw that, I was like, wow, all my hopes and dreams have been that. Because I thought he was coming back. And
well,
then
he is
also,
coming back.
Well, they say he's coming back in, you know, before the playoffs. But I mean,
you think he's coming back?
That's what Nick Nurse said last night.
Okay, well, we'll see.
Good likelihood. I like the wordage that he used.
I don't
there.
Know. Because it just feels like. It doesn't feel like that's going to be the case to me. It doesn't feel like
I
that.
Wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't.
And it the way that this has been handled, not saying that it wasn't like his injury, obviously his injury was real.
Sure.
But the optimism that they tried to give us that he was going to be back before the play-in games, I don't know. I don't think I believe that. Now.
Well, time's running out. I mean, he only has
a little bit.
Like I think
there's 9 games left.
Yeah, 2 weeks and you know, 2.5 weeks, 9 games left in the season. So time is running out. 215-592-949 for your reaction to the Harden stuff from last night. I mean, the guy's he's not quite Ben level villain, but he's a villain. I mean, he's an all-time now Philly villain, and I thought that was a great crowd reaction last night with him and the Clippers coming in here, and a tough loss for the Sixers. All right, Rhea, before we go back to the phones,
yes,
it's opening day. Well, tomorrow is for us, but it is opening day.
I'm happy because it's going to be sunny tomorrow.
Yes.
I don't know why, but I need a sunny day for opening day. It puts me in the right frame of mind.
Friday.
And even better, it's Friday.
I ain't got to go
3 o'clock game.
It's a party tomorrow.
Yes, that's what it is. Exactly.
Yeah, today would have been like a gloomy Thursday, but no, they push it to tomorrow. Rhea, give us your level of optimism for this team and how good they could be. Because it's interesting, the last 2 years, from June on, they've been as good as anyone.
Yep.
But those first 2 months, they stumble around and they only finish about 90 wins. Howard, this morning with you guys, and yesterday with
107.
Us, I think tongue-in-cheek. I think he's kidding. But when he first said, I laughed at him.
Yep.
And then I thought 107's high. But the idea of 100 and up in upper 90s, it's not crazy. They have that talent.
I don't think it's crazy either. And as you pointed out, they went, 62-40?
62-38.
38 over the last, 105 games, which would have put them on 100, win pace. I think it could be a real slugger's battle between the Braves and the Phillies for this simple reason. The Braves, like, I love Spencer Strider is a pitcher I would want on the Phillies. I love how angry he got when they pulled him out. He's their opening day starter. I think they need a little of that edge down there. But then you look at the rest, and the young kid's going to be good. The Shorver.
Oh, the guy we saw in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, I think he's going to be really good. But Chris Sale, I mean, is there a part of his body part that has not been injured?
He hasn't pitched a full season since 2017.
Carson
Wentz was good in 2017. Yeah,
that's a long time ago. So, I'm concerned about him. Charlie Morton's 40 years old. I mean, he's been consistent, but at some point, 40 is 40 and it catches up. I can't imagine that entire team is going to have the offensive output this year. Now, Acuna, and again, barring that knee bothering him,
and it already did in spring,
it's already squeaking, that meniscus that's been repaired. I think he can only get better. That's the frightening thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if the rest of that team can keep up that pace that they put on last year.
Yeah, Hugh, the Braves are good, but 100, they won 104 last year. I think they come back to the pack this year.
Yeah, then you talk about, there were talks, he had a hell of a season last year, Marcell Ozuna, but there were talks early in the season before I left Atlanta where they were considering whether or not they wanted him on the team anymore.
Yeah.
And they decided to keep him. And you talk about that murderous row throughout that, Austin Riley and all those guys that were hitting. Yeah, it's a far stretch to say that they're going to be as consistent as they were, and they might even get off to the slow start.
Well, they could. And then, Rhea, I looked at the Philly schedule.
The
Braves, obviously, it's a tough series to start off. After that, I think they should be 10 games over 500 at the end of April. Like, there's no tough start excuse this year. The schedule is easy.
That played into it last year. Yeah. The Phillies had the tougher schedule in the beginning. The Braves did not.
Mm-hmm.
So that absolutely played. And you got Harper for the whole year.
And I think Trey Turner for the whole year? Because where are you at on Trey after last year? Because, the first 4 months, I was canceling the contract.
Yes.
And then he got white hot.
Sure.
So there's of two minds. Is he that player he was the last 2 months? I don't think he's a player the first 4 months, but you add it together, it wasn't great last year.
Well, I think probably there's a comfort level now. He's been here. He knows that the fans had his back. So I think at the plate, I was surprised at how I was not very impressed with his defense.
He led baseball in errors.
Yeah, I didn't. I was a little concerned about that. That I thought he was much better than he was. But I think there's going to be a comfort level. And the one guy I'm really looking at, I mean, I know you guys talked about Bohm and Stott, and I think if they take another step, it's huge. I am interested to see if JT Realmuto has actually rebuilt his swing.
Yep.
Which they said the minute the season ended, he went into the Phillies lab, you know, with the leg
biomechanics.
Kick. Yeah, that he had never really believed in it before. And so I'm curious about that.
You know what's funny, Rhea, when you bring that up? When we talked to him, me and Joe had a chance to talk to him. When you look at his face, he believes that is something that's going to help him out tremendously. And with that being said, like all of those guys feel like this is the year that they're going to get off to a pretty good start.
Well, the question with JT, Rhea, for me is, was it just the mechanics were off, or is he hitting a wall because his age?
Yeah.
Like, no player ever wants to acknowledge that's the reason.
And a catcher just ages your body, you know, like, you know, it's like a dog.
It is.
I mean, it just does.
And he catches every game.
He ages in dog years.
Catchers do age in dog years. It's like running backs. They just, it falls off pretty fast here. And then, Rhea,
I love when I get to make you laugh.
No, that was funny.
It's true.
Well, technically, I'm 100.
Yeah,
exactly.
But some dogs live really long. Maybe that's JT. Maybe he just plays forever a catcher. All right, the other thing is the pitching. Wheeler's amazing.
Yep.
And Nola.
And Wheeler owns the Braves.
He
too.
Does own the
he
Braves.
He really does. So that's huge when it comes to, you know, especially a 5-game series.
And then there's Nola. And then Ranger, I feel like, is an X factor because sometimes Ranger's amazing and then other times it's like, he's okay. But maybe
he's healthy. There were no visa issues, so
spring training,
and I mean that one spring training outing he had
was great.
Was ridiculous. So I have a lot of high hopes from him. Sanchez, I like a lot. I know the number went down, and some people were saying maybe it was tied into Taijuan Walker injury. And I'm going, what were you thinking? You were getting out of him that the number went down?
I'm going,
he is what he is. I am with you on the Jordan Montgomery thing, 100%.
They should have got him.
I don't want to hear it. Your window is your window. You have some of these great players are on the other side of 30.
Yep.
So your window is your window.
And we saw this, 11, 12 years ago. We didn't think the Phillies in 2012 were about to fall off, and sometimes it happens. So
it's a light switch. Yeah.
I mean, look, I don't think the Phillies are going to be bad next year, but there's a chance a year or two from now they all start to fall. Like, this is the window, Hugh. They got to take advantage of it now.
Yeah, because when you start talking about that age thing, and you brought it up early, and you were talking about how it just was a different feel going into the spring training. You get to a point as a former player where you know you're starting, your body feels a little bit different, and you want to be a part of something great when you're at the height of your game. You know, you talk about guys like Kyle Schwarber, Zach Wheeler, guys like that. They're a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
You start to think about that a little bit. The fact that when we talked to Zach, he talked about rolling out this pitch that he's been working on for a while,
his
and
splitter?
He was excited about it. Like, that's going to be the pitch that's going to do two things for him. Give him a Cy Young and get them over the hump as far as the World Series. So, yeah, you do feel like it's about time to get, you know, over that hump and win a championship before you get too old to actually enjoy it.
You might look at it as other pitchers and go, Zach Wheeler's adding a pitch to his arsenal. Like that's unfair.
Yeah, the fact that when I mentioned it to him, the Cheshire Cat grin that he had on his face, he was like,
almost like he knows something we don't know.
Yes.
Like,
I love that.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it tomorrow. 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines here. Cole is in Glassboro. Hey, Cole.
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Good, Cole. What are you feeling on the Phils?
I got on here earlier, and I was listening to a lot of people trying to pick and find something about the team that, like, to make them bad. And, like, I just don't see it. Like, you're getting all these veterans after another year of just grinding, and then you're going to get a full Trey. Like, Trey's not going to play that bad to start the year again. And you have Bryce again.
Well, and a full year of Bryce. Because, Cole, I mean, Bryce, he got to the lineup in May, but it felt like he didn't really start hitting until July last year.
Yeah, it was like the second part of the year he was like the best player in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Top five, at least.
Well, I think sometimes people look for reasons to worry about things. And sure, if Wheeler and Nola get hurt, they're in big trouble. But I can say that about any team.
No team has starting pitching rotation depth.
Right.
A couple, maybe.
Maybe the Dodgers are the only team you could just say no matter what, they're going to win a lot because they just always do. But, if the Phillies stay relatively healthy, Cole, they're going to be really good. We've seen it now. You know, it's like what's real and what's not. The last 2 years from June on, they've won a lot of baseball games. I think they could do it for a full season. Cole, give us a guess for Hugh's Clues here. A Philly that was drafted the same year as Hugh.
Ricky Williams.
That's an interesting one. It's not the answer.
That's
but
not
that,
the answer.
So Ricky Williams was drafted, and Ricky Williams also played baseball.
Oh, yeah. That's a good – I didn't know that.
Yes.
I didn't know that. Okay, so that's a good guess. That's a good guess. I did not know that. That's not him.
I was – the first set, I was like, Rick – I thought he was going to say Ricky Jordan.
Wait a minute, he got drafted by the Phillies?
Yeah, Ricky Williams did.
I think you're right.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
But that's pretty interesting.
I don't think he even went to the minors or anything like that.
I don't think he ever did either.
A lot of baseball players were drafted. Like Tom Brady.
Was A.J. Brown ever drafted or he just played?
No, he was drafted.
Padres, okay. I think?
Yep. Yeah. Padres.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those guys were drafted in two sports and then they
Tom Glavine played hockey.
Yes.
Yeah, he was a really good hockey player.
Tom Brady, I think, was an Expos draft pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens a lot. Taylor in King of Prussia. Hey, Taylor.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, Taylor. What's up?
Hey, so yeah, I was telling Kyle, I like the team in the regular season. I give them like 95, 98 wins. I think they're going to do just fine. I think going into the playoffs, we might be feeling pretty confident. But I think like the difference between us and, you know, some of our major competitors is the fact that, you know, they fell short. Other than Texas, you know, everybody else fell short. And it seems like a lot of our major competitors then took that and decided to add to their teams to get better, to be able to, you know, finish strong. And we just kind of are banking on a product that the last 2 years has run out of gas when it really matters.
Well, they got Merrifield. I mean, they have a bench now.
They did, but yeah. I just don't know if that's enough, you know?
So I think the other thing with the Phillies, though, is where were they going to add? I mean, they tried for Yamamoto, yeah. and I agree with Rhea. They should have got Montgomery. But the everyday lineup was kind of
set.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, unless they traded someone, they didn't really have a spot, Taylor, to add something significant, you know, in the everyday lineup.
I think the biggest thing would have been one or two really strong bullpen pieces. I think getting rid of Kimball is obviously great. but at the end of the day, like, who is stepping up into that late bullpen spot, and then who is stepping into that spot for the guy who steps into that spot, you know what I'm saying? And so I feel like our bullpen does look solid, but it might be a little bit weaker than people think.
There's some questions there. It is weird. I saw MLB.com rank the Phillies as the number one bullpen. Mm-hmm. Like 3 years ago.
Without Ryan Kirkering.
Yes.
Which, you know, I'm concerned about that. That's an odd...
He had the flu for weeks.
That, you know, I've never seen anything like that that's lingered that long.
Hopefully his velocity and strength is there when he comes back. But it's just so weird to me. 3 years ago, this was the worst bullpen in the history of baseball. It's just like, to say it out loud.
It was epically awful. Yes.
I mean, Hugh, they had games 3 years ago where they would be up by 3 runs in the 8th inning, and you just would assume they're going to lose.
Yeah,
because of the bullpen.
It was so bad.
When I was in Atlanta, I saw that. And that was when Gabe Kapler was here, wasn't it?
He actually wasn't part of those.
It was Girardi.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Gabe had his fair share of bullpen issues, but it wasn't they even worse when he left. Taylor, give us a guess for Hugh's Clues.
I'm going to guess Marlon Anderson.
I love that name. Marlon Anderson. Taylor, but we appreciate it. So I actually looked it up. Ricky Williams did play for a rookie league team in the Phillies minor league.
Wow.
He did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where? The Martinsville Phillies. They were in the Appalachian League. You know, they always switch the affiliates. But and apparently, when he got injured in the NFL early, he thought about going back to play baseball.
Wow. But he was too high.
He was way too high.
He is high.
Ricky Williams was wild.
What?
Yes, he was.
He's an interesting cat.
He would be better off in this NFL than he was
back
in the day.
Anymore.
Yeah, they quit doing that.
It's crazy to me how he still ran for like 10,000 career yards, even though he took seasons off.
Yeah, that's how good he was.
He was a hell of a runner.
He was a great player. All right, so Rhea, our last caller mentioned getting through both the Dodgers and the Braves in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Is winning the division important to you?
It is.
Me too.
It really is, because I think they've already beaten them, you know, knocked them out twice. I think winning the division first of all, the rivalry would be even ratchet, but I think it would give them such a feeling to just blow through the playoffs.
Yes.
Like I feel, I don't want to just go, it's not important. There's the wild card. Nah, grab it and own it.
And how about having to win less games in the playoffs? I know they've done it their way, but I also think they kind of run out of steam at the end of the last 2 October.
No, they do. Well, I think Rojas definitely did.
Oh,
never played into. And I am thrilled that he's starting.
So you're pro Rojas.
I am so pro.
She's a part.
This is the Rojas fan club.
Yes, this is me and Hugh.
You and Hugh. I'm concerned he doesn't hit.
But you're not. You're paying the other.
I know.
This is the opposite of your take on football, where you're like, defense isn't important anymore, which as a defensive player is interesting.
Well, you know, I'm taking his defensive player thing away.
Yeah,
it's
I
over.
Think they took your card away.
Yeah,
but, you know, his offense is his defense.
It is.
I mean,
he has a lot of range out there when he's playing defense.
Yes.
He's a fast cat.
But there has to be a standard, right? Like, he can only
240.
Hit... 240. I'll take 240.
240.
Oh, 240, but I'd be doing cartwheels.
Yeah. I mean, the playoffs was 100.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
240, they'd be sending him to my Hall of Fame.
When he just the bat was on his shoulder, man,
yeah.
in a key moment. Like, it was bad. It wasn't, I mean... You asked him to do what you asked him to do, and to have him in that moment, like, to be honest, you got to blame the other guys for that.
No, that's why I say 100% blame the other guys. But
he should have never
it was
been
scary.
In that situation.
Yeah, I just felt he was drowning. He was overwhelmed in October.
He was.
You know what he could use today, tomorrow or Saturday? He could use a two-hit game so we stop talking about him.
Yeah.
The worst thing would be is if he gets off to like an 0-for-15 start. Then it's
and that happens sometimes.
Yeah.
But Trey Turner.
If Bryce does, we won't talk about it. Like,
no.
But if Rojas does, it's going to be like, uh-oh.
I thought you were going to say he needs a standing ovation. Yeah.
Standing ovation? No, let's not do that. not yet.
Yeah. Never again, please.
Well, if Trey struggles, Kyle, I mean, it worked last
year.
You
got to do something, man. Wash his car. Wash the man's car.
Hold on. If Trey struggles, then we can't say it worked last year.
Well,
say it worked for like 2 months.
Well, I get that. I'm just saying, Rhea, be prepared. If
he doesn't get a second one.
We're doing it again.
I don't think I can do it again.
I'll scream.
Yeah, Kyle's going to run away from here. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll come back. Your phone calls, Rhea, before we say goodbye,
yes.
Your official win prediction. What do you got?
I am going to go 98.
I like that.
There we go.
98 wins for the 2024 Phillies. Okay, we'll come back. Your phone calls, Hughes Clues here. We'll give you clue number two. Phillies tickets on the line for Saturday's game against the Braves. Rhea, we'll see you next week and enjoy opening day.
Awesome. You got it.
All right.
Are you going?
Yeah.
I'll be there too. Yeah.
I can't miss opening day.
No, you got to go.
215-592-949 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
ESPN Bet is now live in Pennsylvania as the official sports book of ESPN. ESPN Bet is the only place to find.